Good afternoon, everyone. We don't have an opening statement or anything, but we do have two wireless mics. If before you ask the question, if we could just wait for the wireless mic on both sides, we'll bring them over to you. That would be great. Mike?
Ted Darcy, I think, Ted, we can probably frame all the discussion today with a real simple question. I mean, Darcy's under contract. He's sitting at the table today. Here's your chance just to end all the speculation right now, end the phone calls we're getting every day about Darcy's status. He's under contract. Is he going to run this team for the draft in the offseason and into next season?
Yes.
Okay, and then the follow-up to that would be twofold. Would be how much consideration, given what's going on other places in the league, other cities have made changes, was given to that? And realistically, what's your reaction when the fans say that the last 6 years have largely been a failure? You've changed the coach, and the general manager is still here.
Darcy was given his extension that was announced in January when we came out of the lockout. So the decision to extend him into next year literally was made in January, and actually preceding that, obviously, the announcement. The answers to fans and things like that, was that the second part of the question?
Most of the fan base would prefer a new general manager.
And when you miss the playoffs, I would assume in most cities and most sports, that's exactly what you get. The reality of it is we're in a process right now where we're trying to rebuild, reboot, revamp, whatever reword we are comfortable using. And that process started last draft in 2012. There was an organizational weakness, for example, with the center position, and Darcy can address this far better than I can. So accumulating picks and building. So this process has been underway for the last year and month or so.
John.
Ted, moving on to the next topic of question, coaching-wise. Have you made a decision as to where you're going to go with the coach?
We should address that to Darcy.
Well, he is your employee, too.
Actually, just to clarify that, too, Darcy is not my employee. Darcy and I both work for Terry Pegula. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. But, that's why I think Darcy's a better person to answer that.
Ron's situation will be that he and I will sit down over the next week, maybe couple of weeks, reevaluate the season, and have discussions about our relationship going forward. But I would add that I think he did a very good job under trying circumstances, and but again, we'll address that down the road.
So, just to follow up, you haven't made a decision as to what you're going to do with the coaching situation.
Have not yet. No,
Paul. And then we'll get
Ted. Why would I'm paraphrasing here. Ted, correct me if I'm wrong. When you raised the season ticket price, you said with the new CBA, that's something that needed to be done. Why did you have to raise season ticket prices?
That's a good question, Paul. And I know there's been a lot of speculation about that. We sent out a letter to our fans as soon as we made the decision. So actually, we're probably the first team to actually send a letter to the fans. And we didn't want to wait and try and sneak in on a Memorial Day weekend or something like that. As soon as we made the decision, we wanted to get it out. Under the CBA, half of hockey-related revenue goes to the players. That's how the split is. So of the 4%, 2% is never going to see our bottom line. It's going to go straight to the players and into the pool throughout the league. The entire process allows this franchise to still qualify unencumbered for revenue sharing. And that's the same process that existed before. There's an obligation to raise money so that you don't jeopardize that revenue stream. The 2% that will inure to us from that 4% increase is really going to be rolled back into the operations, whether it be something you see inside. And we've certainly done a lot of renovations inside the building or the general operations. So that's really what I mean, that it wasn't caused by the CBA, but that's just the realities of it, is the players share in basically half of all ticket revenue.
That part of it, is it like part of the CBA, is you have to hit a certain amount
it's
of
not that you
revenue?
Have, I'm sorry. It's not that you have to hit a certain threshold by a gross number. It's a growth metric.
Are there any other
Scott, can you hang on, Lauren? Can we wait for the microphone, please, like we said? Scott Brown over here, then we'll get you right after.
For Ted, and this is a follow-up to Paul's question. The salary cap next year is dropping by $6 million. You've missed the playoffs for the last 2 years. Shouldn't you really be talking about decreasing ticket prices for fans?
The obligation to grow and as a league as a whole still exists. It's not a written obligation, but that's what we're trying to do is grow league revenues. Even with the 4% increase, we're still in the bottom quarter in terms of what our prices are. You could probably make an argument on supply and demand basis that the ticket prices should be much, much higher because of demand. But
you could make that same argument based on performance that they should be lower.
Yes, you could. And I'm sure there are some clubs that maybe stay flat. There's some that are going to go up more than us. And that's the decision that we made, that we're going to do it at 4%. And as I said, half of that actually goes to the players.
2 years ago, when Mr. Pegula was here for the opening press conference, I asked him if this was about making money or winning. And he said, if I want to make more money, I can drill another well. And this is, he said, I will lose money if necessary to bring a Stanley Cup here. So why is there a need to raise prices?
I think if you look out front with all the rigs and everything else, it probably looks like we're drilling wells out front with the Harbor Center. I won't get into the mechanics of it, but I can assure you that what Terry said is completely true. He is not operating this team to make money. In order to qualify for revenue share, you have to grow your revenues. That's just the way the CBA works. I can't get drunk off of Terry's wealth and assume that he's going to live forever and he's going to spend money forever. This city knows what it's like whenever the well runs dry, to continue that metaphor, and go through a bankruptcy. My obligation is to make sure that I do everything I can to preserve the value of this franchise for multiple owners and multiple team presidents after I'm not here.
Well, Mr. Pegula said during the opening news conference, I said, do you anticipate having this team for your lifetime? And he said, I actually anticipated having it beyond my lifetime. And he pointed to his children.
And I hope that's the case.
Okay, so if that is the case and you've got an owner worth $4 billion, why are you raising ticket prices?
We have an owner that does have an enormous wealth. I don't know if that's the correct number. I'll never have $3 billion because I'd quit it too. But I can't make those assumptions. I think if you talk to an owner maybe a couple ago that their company was going to last forever because they're in the cable business and they make so much money, and that wasn't a surefire thing. So my obligation is to make sure that we continue to qualify for a valuable revenue stream like revenue sharing. It is important. We're the smallest U.S.-based market in the NHL. Revenue sharing exists for a market just like Buffalo. I hope Terry owns the team forever. I hope the Pegula kids and grandchildren own it forever, and they have the same desire and love for the city that Terry does.
Jerry?
Ted, I don't know what percentage of the fan base is unhappy and disaffected or how many of them would actually consider giving up their tickets, but I want to know if you're at all concerned about losing some of those people, because your actions suggest that you feel you have a captive audience that won't leave and that you're taking them for granted.
Is that your opinion, the last part of that, or is that...
Yeah, it's my opinion. I'm going to write it tomorrow. You can respond to it ahead of time.
You don't have to get hostile, Jerry. Just ask him to make sure I clarify what's opinion and what's reporting. If that makes
sense. Perceptions out there.
I'm sorry?
That's the... I've asked you a question, if you're concerned. It would have a question mark at the end.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like you've already written...
I think you act as if you have a captive audience and that you're taking them for granted. If I'm the only person that thinks that, fine. Answer the question.
Can I see the article you've already written for tomorrow?
I'll send it to Terry.
He doesn't have a computer. Do I take the fans for granted? Absolutely not. This fan base has been through a lot short and long term. This is a tremendous fan base. They deserve a lot better than what they got this year. They certainly don't sign up for lockouts and not having hockey. We went 10 months without hockey. And it's a fan base that, I think about it all the time. You know, I've said it before, I'd rather win one Stanley Cup in Buffalo than 10 anywhere else, because I know how passionate this fan base is. I'm not raising tickets by 4% to punish anyone, Jerry.
Lauren?
If that's the suggestion or the narrative, then it's simply not true.
Lauren?
Are there other revenue streams being affected, such as concession stands? Is the whole experience going to be more expensive?
I don't know what the Delaware North and Sports Service has the contract for that, so I can't speak to what the concession prices are, and I don't know off the top of my head what the historical prices
are. Is your control going to be affected that will raise the level of the experience, the price of the entire experience?
Parking is probably going to remain flat. I'm trying to think of soup to nuts when somebody comes to a game. It's parking, concessions, and the tickets. I don't have any plans to raise parking, so if there's one that I'm missing, then I can't think of it.
Mike?
All right, Ted, there's a couple points on this ticket thing we got to delve into more. First of all, why would you announce any price hike and get the letters to fans? You want to get it to fans ahead of time on Fan Appreciation Night. Do you have any sense of how callous and insensitive your fan base thinks that was?
No, thanks for the question, Mike. I really appreciate that. The fact of the matter is, as soon as we made the decision, we sent it out. It could have arrived on somebody's birthday, and they would have said how callous it is that I get it on my birthday.
But I think, clearly, that's pretty disingenuous, don't you think?
I think it would be disingenuous to wait till Memorial Day weekend to send it or anything else. As soon as we made the decision, we sent it out. As I said, the other teams, I'm sure, will raise prices, and they haven't sent theirs out yet. People also have an earlier time to decide whether they want to buy or they don't want to buy. Not every season ticket holder is an individual. There are businesses that are season ticket holders. They may be on a fiscal year. Their fiscal year ends June 30. They are able to make a decision and to plan their budget accordingly. We're going through budget process here. I'm sure they do it at the paper in and around this time to decide how you're going to allocate money. So the earlier you get that information in the fans' hands, the better.
Okay, so
and historically, we've probably sent out the same letter or invoice about this time every year.
And historically, you've never sent it out on Fan Appreciation Night, so we've made that clear.
No,
okay, let's go.
No,
we
didn't send it out on Fan Appreciation Night. The wonderful speed with which the post office delivered it was that it arrived that day. So we sent it out before. There was no timing. If the suggestion, Mike, in any way, shape, or form, or if anyone thinks that we did this,
no, it wasn't
to be callous or insensitive or any whatever inflammatory language you used, it certainly wasn't that. It was not premeditated to do that. And as I said, it could have come on somebody's birthday, and maybe it felt doubly insulting that they received it.
So you don't feel the need to apologize to your fans for that point at all?
For the timing? If the timing was insulting, absolutely. Fan Appreciation Night was a wonderful night, wonderful game. We enjoy what the fans provide to us and vice versa. The suggestion that we timed it that way is completely untrue. And
right.
As I said, it's in or about this time every year that it goes out. It may have turned on that people received it for the last game of the season last year or in years past. I haven't really benchmarked it. But when things are going the way they go now, and that becomes the headline story, if that's the headline story that needs to be written.
You have an exceedingly wealthy owner. Everyone knows that. Why does this franchise, with an exceedingly wealthy owner who just happens to be working in Buffalo, New York, need to qualify for revenue sharing? And why does the ticket prices go up based on the changes in the revenue of the CBA, as pointed out very accurately in the New York Post story?
I think I answered all those, but I can repeat it again. I can't take for granted that Terry is always going to be the owner. I can't take for granted that revenue sharing won't be important to this club long term. And I also, half of the increase, of the 4% increase, 2% is actually going to go toward hockey-related revenues that the players will benefit from.
So do you regret that Terry said he would just drill an oil well?
No, I think it was pretty funny.
But it's coming back.
It was addressed this time last year. We did the exact same thing. We raised prices last year as well, and the ability to have a snarky comment to something like that is going to live forever. I thought it was a great line that Terry made, and you know, it's out there. And again, we addressed the same thing last year.
Adam?
Okay. Ted, I think getting to matters related to the hockey department, and you may have touched on this off the top. Yes. This is for both of you. The could you elaborate on the rationale behind keeping Darcy in place in terms of the vision on this rebuild? And Darcy, could you elaborate on what that vision is?
Why don't we go the other way around? I need a break.
I need a break. I would say, Adam, that the vision is probably started last season at the trade deadline, where we began to move in a direction of both in recognition that we were going to have to and still have to acquire more top players. I think it began to become clear, and Terry's been very consistent with this. This is about building for a Stanley Cup, not a playoff run, not two playoff runs. You want to do it in a process that will allow for being successful in winning a Stanley Cup in the shortest period of time. There are some obvious ways you can do it. You can go to the bottom of the league for 5 years and hope you can come across a Crosby, a Malkin, and miss on a couple guys. Taves, Kane, 5 years. You can do it that way. Or you can try and see if there's room in between so as not to create that length of timeline. The trade at the deadline with Paul Gostad began in some ways that process. We utilized free agency, albeit the free agent pool is not what it once was. It probably won't be again like it once was going forward. And it becomes less probable that you're going to be able to do it that way. So it is going to be first and foremost about the draft. It's going to be the supplementation of the drafted players with free agents, with trades, but the trades go back to the draft again. And even with teams like LA, in the acquisition of Carter and Richards, they used a third overall pick in Jack Johnson. They used a fifth overall pick in the case of Braden Schenn going the other way to acquire those players. So you need the top picks. You need the top players, which more often than not require the top picks. And again, the distinction is it's not about the playoffs. It's about a Stanley Cup, which certainly involves the playoffs, and I'm not going to lighten that. It probably needs an understanding from our fan base that what Terry is asking us, and is certainly a big part of communicating, working. I know he's not here today, but I can tell you the communication is almost on a daily basis. He wants to try a lot of things. We have tried some things. Some things have worked better than others. Some things have not worked very well. He is in search of creating a Stanley Cup championship. That has not changed. In fact, it's been reinforced. It's stronger than ever. It may require some suffering. It may require some suffering. And if this, you know, what we did at the deadline, by moving Robin Regier, Jordan Leopold, Jason Pominville, is part of that process. We are going to have four picks in the top 55. We currently have the 8th overall. We currently have the 16th overall. We have the 38th, and we have the 55th. We will do everything we can to acquire those top players that are required to win a Stanley Cup. And if it lengthens the timeline, hopefully it doesn't, but that could be one of the possibilities.
Can you speak specifically then, because I know a lot of fans have these questions, how the approach you're talking about pertains to the futures with this organization of Thomas Vanek and Ryan Miller?
They're both under contract for one more season. I have met with both of them. They are aware that this is about the Stanley Cup. We can do a number of things, and nothing has been decided. because, quite honestly, we're going to get through this playoff in the National Hockey League. We're going to go into the draft. Teams are going to be in different positions. There's just so much that's undecided right now. It may involve both of them being here. It may involve one of them being here. It may involve none of them being here. I can only tell you that, obviously, they are upper echelon, top-level players, and can certainly be a part of a Stanley Cup team.
Paul?
Darcy, in both cases, I had a chance to chat with them before, you know, they cleaned out their lockers. And as you said, they want to know. They want to talk to you. They even want to talk to Terry Pegula, if they could, just to find out where things are going. If one or both of those men say, you know what, I just can't see, you know, re-signing him, whatever, does it become imperative then that you might have to move one or both of those guys?
It changes the equation, certainly. And I have spoken with both of those players. Terry has spoken with both of those players. There is, and I can speak to it, there is very obvious direction from within the hockey team and the hockey department. Not avoiding your question, Paul, it's just not, I'm not able to answer it at this point because we don't know what the marketplace is going to make available, and we don't know for sure as to whether or not these players were in a position to sign them long term. But certainly as it goes, the value of players generally that are entering the last year of their contracts, they have one value at a trade deadline the year before, they have another value at the draft, they have another value following free agency, and then the last value is really at the following trade deadline.
Does each one keep going down?
The last one certainly goes down. Next year's trade deadline goes down, but the reality of knowing whether this trade deadline or the draft is more valuable, in their case, it wasn't the trade deadline.
John? Darcy, if picks are so important, why did you only keep one of your second rounders the last 4 years?
Because we were actually trying to add to the team, and we were trying to make the playoffs, John. And in the case of Brad Boyes, we did acquire him, and we did make the playoffs. It's not about the playoffs anymore. It's not only about the playoffs anymore. It's about contending for a Stanley Cup. So to your point, yes, we could have done the opposite and rolled the second round picks out the other way to acquire players, which is what we acquired for Robin Regier and Jordan Leopold. We could have gone that direction and instead chose to begin to acquire a different type of currency for use at a different period of time to add to what we want to do with respect to building a Stanley Cup team.
Scott? Okay. I'm sorry, John. Yeah.
Just when Edmonton signed Thomas to that offer sheet, one of your biggest concerns was giving that much money to a 23-year-old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You gave $10 million to Tyler Myers last year at 22. He came in out of shape. Did you have a message for him? Do you regret that you gave that much money that young, and what changed from the Thomas era?
Not big on regrets, so do you learn something from that? Absolutely. Do I think it is good to give 23-year-olds that kind of money? In most cases, no, I don't think it's good. Sometimes it's unavoidable given 27-year-old unrestricted free agency. Less of unavoidable if you can still do it. But it plays into, I think you have to make sure that you do everything you can to keep players fairly motivated. And in fairness to 23-year-olds, their intentions are very honorable. But in my view, it does impact and influence their ability to stay highly motivated. And did we meet with him? Did I meet with him and address it? Yes.
Scott?
For Ted, why isn't Mr. Pegula here today? You're raising ticket prices. The team has missed the playoffs. Doesn't he have an obligation to answer questions about both the hockey side and the business side of the operation?
No, it's a great question the way you phrased it, too. Terry hired me to run the business and speak for the business. He hired Darcy to run the hockey operations and speak for the hockey operations. He has a high level of trust in us to do that, and he has empowered us to do that. So that's our role. Terry's role is more of being a typical owner. I work for an owner, two owners in Pittsburgh, Ron Burkle and Mario, and they would never be somewhere like this. It's just not, it's not what a typical owner does.
Well, can I say for Buffalo fans, they expect their owners to be responsible and responsive to what's going on, and that means answering questions.
I don't know that that's completely true, that that happens in this or any other market. Terry is certainly available and speaks publicly, and he'll continue to.
When is Terry available? He wouldn't answer hockey questions the one time. I had to stop it right there, Ted. Come on, that's ridiculous. When is Terry available?
Terry was available to the media 2-3 weeks ago.
And didn't answer any hockey questions when he was there. He used to answer hockey questions that should have been answered by the owner. You weren't even there when Lindy was fired, as Darcy told us. You were out of town. So I'm not going
to... I'm sorry, which question do you want me to answer there? Do you want to know where I was that weekend?
That's just ridiculous.
What bearing would that have, that last comment about him not being here?
Well, the point is,
I was in a business meeting in New York.
So telephones are for him, right?
So you're speaking for Terry when they fired the coach. You weren't even there. Darcy had to do that. You're saying Terry's available.
Terry is available to speak on matters that involve the franchise.
All right, well, let's
be clear. Mike, Terry's not going to be available to answer every question that you want to ask him.
He should maybe have been able to answer the firing of the 16-year head coach.
That's what he has Darcy do.
And Darcy did a fine job.
Exactly.
Right.
You get it now.
And the owner should be there, too, because the owner was certainly there at the beginning.
The owner was there at the beginning.
So when he wins the Stanley Cup, he's not doing any interviews, too, right?
Mike, well, behave yourself professionally, please.
Can you? I'm asking a question.
Which question do you want me to answer before you interrupt
Terry
it?
Terry is available, and I'm telling
you Terry speaks when it's appropriate for the owner to speak. And in the right capacity that he's going to speak. Let me finish a question. The answer to your question, please. It's not that hard.
Go ahead. It was appropriate for him to answer questions about the coach, and he refused.
When? What are you talking about now?
The Harbor Center, he would not answer questions about the firing of the coach. That was the first time anyone had a chance to ask him about it.
And he wasn't there to do that. That wasn't it.
He was asked about Harbor Center. He could have answered a reasonable question about the firing of the coach.
He was there to announce the investment of $172 million into our community. That's what he did. It wasn't there to talk about the hockey department or hiring or firing of coaches that took place 2 or 3 months before that. I don't know what the timing was.
Just for the record.
I understand that. I understand that you want to talk to him all the time. I understand that because he's a dynamic person to speak with. I'd love to speak to your boss. I'd love to have Warren Buffett come in here and chat. It would be awesome. I think everyone. I think it would be awesome to do that.
Not actually. In fairness to Terry, he doesn't. He's here part time.
Well,
no, that's not fair.
Scott, if we could just answer one at a time.
Okay.
You understand that he's just not going to be at a press conference like this. You don't like it. You don't like it. But I want to make sure that everyone here has that expectation.
Let you sit there and lie like you just did.
Mike, that's defamatory.
That's a fact. You said Terry's available and he's not. And we
Terry is available to speak, and he does.
Well, when,
and he's a very dynamic speaker.
When is he available, and can we set up a press conference right now for next week or next month with Mr. Pagula so we can answer him,
questions? Sure. I understand that. He hires me to run the business and speak for the business. He hired Darcy to run the hockey operations and speak for the hockey operations. And that's what we do. When there's appropriate times for the owner to come forward and speak, he will. Harbor Center is a great example of that. There may be other opportunities. There'll certainly be social events that he speaks at. That's the typical role of an owner. I understand that everyone here wants to grill Terry and to hold his feet to the fire and things like that. That's just not what the owner of a major business typically does. And I,
Mike, if we can please have a microphone.
You're really showing your bias here, and I really wish you would. Well, I've already heard one of your colleagues say they've written a story for tomorrow, and now you're handling yourself this way, interrupting questions and answers.
If I can follow up, because Darcy just said something, I saw Terry Pagula yesterday in Buffalo, so it's not like he was in Florida or out of town on business. Yeah. Why couldn't he be here today? I mean,
we're spending half
of the news conference on why he's
not
here.
Maybe I'm not being very clear because, maybe I'm just not as articulate as I need to be. Terry is not going to speak on the day-to-day operations of the franchise. He's not going to speak on the business operations. He hired me to do that. He hired Darcy to run the hockey operations and speak to that. The hiring or firing of a coach, that's Darcy's job, and that's what he's empowered to do. And Terry's role as an owner is going to be that more of a traditional owner of any business.
He's not going to speak on a day-to-day basis. How about a year-to-year basis?
And I don't know quantify the number of times that Terry has spoken in the last year, but I can get that for you. He certainly has.
I think John's got here and then Jerry. But John had the microphone first, please, and then we'll go right over to Jerry.
Darcy, looking ahead to the fact that you are getting one more opportunity, and some people may say one too many opportunities. It's been, the criticism that's been leveled at you. Why do you believe you have earned that opportunity, given that some have criticized? There's a criticism out there that perhaps you overestimated the lineup that you had 3 or 4 years ago. And why do you believe you get that opportunity, and what challenge do you face in knowing that you have this Stanley Cup objective ahead of you?
I don't take any of this for granted in any way, and I am extremely grateful for not just this opportunity, but for being here even on a day like today. I think this is great. The reality of it, if I didn't have the confidence that I, in the general manager's position, along with the people I work with, could accomplish building a Stanley Cup winner, I wouldn't be here. I can tell you that going back to 05, 06, 06, 07, we did build a team that contended for the Stanley Cup. We didn't get it there. We came close. We did finish fifth overall. We did finish win the President's Trophy. There's unfinished business there. I have a lot more insight into an experience, and I've learned a lot more in that process. I'm not an old man. My goal is to come to work every day learning something new, and it hasn't changed, and I am. And I recognize that you can look at the performance of the team, which is what you're commenting about, and it doesn't reflect it. I can tell you that just what I told you before, we have gone with more determination in a very distinct direction, which is about the Stanley Cup. So I feel good about it. I love the opportunity. I understand what we're talking about here. I understand our fan base. And I would like to think that people will give up some suffering in order to win a Stanley Cup. I'm willing to do it. I believe our fan base is willing to do it. We certainly don't want to extend it for a long period of time. We want to make it as short as possible, and that's the goal.
Just as a follow-up, because suffering's been mentioned several times, that
Well, that's what we're talking about here, right? I mean, we're talking about not making the playoffs and the hardships.
Some could say that Sabres fans have gone through enough suffering for going back to bankruptcy. Beyond that,
sure.
I guess the follow-up would be, how much suffering is enough?
You know what? You have to pay the price to win a Stanley Cup. It hasn't always been the direction to win the Stanley Cup. It's a hope. It's the playoffs first, and hope that you can roll through the playoffs. The reality of Stanley Cup championship teams, outside of last season, for the first time from a 13th overall place team, you had to be in the top five. And you have to have very good teams, and you have to have very good players, and you have to suffer or go through the process of acquiring those players and putting those teams together. Not every franchise is willing to do that. And so you satisfy yourselves and your fan base with a playoff. But you have to do more than that if you're set on winning a championship.
Jerry?
Ted, simple point. You said early on here that that he wasn't your employee. Are you saying you're not Darcy's boss? And I'm just wondering, assuming you are his boss also, who is involved or was involved in this organization up to the top in deciding whether he was going to be retained as general manager. And on a side note, if you're suggesting that I'm out of line to tell you what I'm going to write tomorrow, after 16 years of following this team, it's pretty easy to have an inkling what you're going to say about Buffalo Sabres.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that last part with me. The first question was, is Darcy my employee? No, Darcy reports to Terry Pegula, as do I. The decision...
Different, a little better.
wait till we review the tape. Well, Terry was here to answer the point earlier. When does Terry speak? Terry spoke when the lockout was over, announcing Darcy's. I'm sorry.
My question is, who decides Darcy's?
Well, I was using that as an example that would be Terry, and that would be an announcement that Terry would make. If he replaced me, I would assume that Terry would make that announcement himself as well.
Darcy, would you please speak to the future makeup of the team? Let's see, you've got Armia, Gergensen, Larsons. You mentioned centers earlier. Are you confident that position's headed in the right direction? Also, Steve Ott, will there be any contract discussions with him, and John Scott as well?
Yes, on the last two. And Armia was part of the championship team, the one that finished Elite League, and so he is obviously a good prospect. Larson and Gergensen's have performed very well at the American League level. They're on a line together and have played very well in the first two games. McHale came back, as you know, from Quebec, played here, has shown very good, is moving in the right direction, has actually developed for me, has made very good progress this year. And he will play in Rochester. He played the second game. And we'll play Wednesday and Thursday as well. So those players are moving in the right direction. They reflect the future of this franchise. We hope to continue to add to that in this draft.
Paul.
You're already the youngest team. That happened once you made the trades and everything. Moving forward now, when you're looking at a trade, are you just looking for picks, or are you looking for young players, or are you looking for a 29-year-old guy who might be in the top 10 in scoring, or is it too early to be looking for guys like that, or in free agency? Mm-hmm. Are you looking for the top free agents, or isn't that what you're about right now as far as trying to build this team?
You're looking at, in the right situation, you're looking at all of those. You know, you asked about Steve Ott. Steve Ott plays a very important role in this for this hockey club. Not only what he does on the ice, but what he does off the ice. The work he does in and around the younger players on teaching them what it means to be a professional. So he becomes a very important player. With respect to the top players that we hope to acquire, they need to fit into preferably into an age group. You certainly need to block enough quality players together that they can grow and compete together and win together, and not have the older guys fall off the one end or the younger guys to be too young to contribute. So your resources have to be brought together in a form that is going to allow a group to win.
Jeff.
Darcy, real quick. When you're talking about suffering in terms of the rebuild, sounds like you're asking for patience. Is that a fair thing to say? And if so,
is
it fair to expect that with the disappointment over the last two seasons and the time frame set up by this organization saying the Stanley Cup was, you know, 3 years away, 3 years ago? Is it fair to expect that patience?
If there was another alternative, and if there is another alternative, we will do everything we can to find it. Short of that alternative, then it may well require some patience. But the payout is what it's about. It is about, and where Terry is, it's about a Stanley Cup championship. It's not just a playoff round.
Sean in the back, and then we'll wrap up with Mike over here.
So along those lines, So along those lines about patience, building a championship, building for a Stanley Cup championship, which you said it's all about. To clarify, are we looking at, and are fans looking at, a building of a championship team process like the Penguins went through, like you mentioned, like Chicago went through, where you gather those assets that are younger, you are at the bottom of the league, not that you're saying you're planning on being at the bottom of the league, but going that route, can fans expect that short-term?
Fans should expect that we will acquire top players and enough top players to contend and win a Stanley Cup. What that involves is the hope is that's the shortest time frame possible. The teams that you talked about in the case of Chicago and Pittsburgh, and L.A., but L.A. is a little bit of a different situation, required patience. It did. But it's a shift from a playoff round or making the playoffs to having bigger plans. bigger goals, bigger, you know, going for it all. And Terry's made that decision. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do. And it's a shift because generally in the National Hockey League, how you keep your job, how you keep fans happy is by getting in the playoffs, by playing around. It's not the happiest, it's not the saddest, but it's a level. It's an acceptable level. It's an acceptable standard around the league. It's just not the standard here. And I recognize I'm saying that in light of two missed playoffs. I realize that.
Darcy, Mike and then Jim.
Darcy, a couple quick hockey questions. Sure. One guy we didn't see at locker cleanout day just as things went was Ville Leino. What is his current health status, looking forward, potential surgeries, and how would that impact potentially his candidacy if he were to be an amnesty buyout?
He is going to have a procedure to take care of his issue. And
the hip or the lung?
The hip. Okay. And he should be 100% the start of the season.
And the other question would be, are you dismayed at all by some of the comments that Ryan and Thomas have said? I mean, you want to talk to them. You've already said here you'd be interested in having them on a Stanley Cup team. They seem to be 1 foot out the door, and certainly the 500th game looked like Ryan's farewell to everybody.
I know that things and how you feel today and how you feel even a day later or days later, it changes. It changes. I feel like I've got a great relationship with those two individuals. They're both terrific people and terrific hockey players, and I would love to keep them here going forward. It's an unknown right now. They're under contract for next season. We'll do everything we can to make them a part of this, but we'll have to see. Beyond that, as I said, I've got the utmost respect for both those individuals.
And just last one, Ted, one quick question on hockey. Is there any concern organizationally that any cost overruns at Harbor Center might impact hockey operations?
No, that's a good question. And before I end here, Mike, I want to apologize to you. That was very rude of me. And for anyone listening, Mike Harrington, I want to apologize to you for suggesting that you were showing your bias. That I lost my temper, and I also want to apologize to you, Jerry, as well. And I asked if you'd both forgive me.
So
Jerry?
You're not concerned about the
Jerry, will you forgive me? I didn't mean to suggest anything.
Okay.
All right, I'm just – that. I apologize. So it's you guys have your jobs to do. I respect what you do. And anyway, is there any concern that that's going to spill over to here? No. No. And just to clarify, too, the overrun, there's not any overruns. It was some preliminary, basically, back of a napkin spitballing on what it was going to cost. And the number that was announced was more of a go-to-market type of a number. So it was a little bit firm. So it's the opposite of what you're supposed to do with your boss. We should have said it was going to cost a lot more and pleasantly surprise him, but that's what it was.
Jim, and then we'll wrap up.
Ted, one more Harbor Center question. It's a great project. It's wonderful. It's going to do great things for downtown. But has it become too much of a distraction on the entire organization, on the hockey department? So much focus on that maybe you lost a little focus on hockey and other things?
Well, that's a good question. I don't believe so. We should never let that happen. The reality is a lot of the work, especially with the architects and the designers, gave us a lot of stuff to do during the lockout. So a lot of that was done during that time. In any kind of construction design process, you'll get to a point where it's pencils down, and then you just watch the building come up, and there's not a whole lot of things to do. We're probably at or really close to that point that you wouldn't have any other input. A lot of the input we got from the hockey department actually took place at the end of last summer, I want to say. And you know, we have a construction team that's going to build a design team and things like that. We'll have a lot of involvement in it, but we're also entering a phase of our season that it's, you know, the summertime's a good time to be focusing some of that attention.
When will you formally announce a partnership?
I don't know. Gibby could probably speak to that more than I.
As soon as there's an agreement.
Yeah.
We
pretty good, Gibby.
Until we have the agreement, then we'll. But there is no agreement. There's ongoing discussions. Adam, you...
Gibby, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to wrap up. It's
I have answered part of the early question. The vision, Darcy's vision that he's outlined here...
It's not my vision, personally. It's a team. This is
but
a team
how to
thing.
Implement it is yours.
Yeah. Okay. Right. No, it's a team.
What gives you confidence in staying the course at the top of the hockey department moving forward from a management ownership perspective? I think fans would want to hear that.
Well, and I think what you do is look at it from what Darcy said. It really started last year. So if you go back to the 2012 draft, and even as we sit here today, extended out to 2015, there's 4 years of drafts. We'll have 6 first-round picks and 8 second-round picks right now in that period. That's 14 top 50, top 60 picks. Our scouting staff has doubled or more than doubled since Terry took over the team. So whereas maybe in years past, and Darcy could address this, if you didn't see a player, maybe you didn't pick him. So now we have more coverage and hopefully more confidence. And I think in one of our Beyond Blue and Gold segments, Darcy said, you know, now we have to be right. Yeah. So that's the faith that we put in the scouting staff.
Thank you, everybody, for today, and we appreciate it. Thanks.